This is episode 18 of the Navit Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to inspiring you to become prosperous on your own terms, elevating the way you experience the world. I'm your host, Lizette Austin, aka Jet Set Lizette, an award travel expert who so far has saved over $100,000 in travel costs.
And I'm your co-host, Erin Papworth, CEO and founder of Navit.
At Navit, we believe women are redefining what wealth means to them. We invite you to join the conversation as we build a feminine vocabulary around money and what it means to be successful. Hearing how other women have rocked their lifestyles, finances, and travel, and have navigated traditionally male-dominated systems is a great way to get inspired and shift mindsets. This podcast provides tips, resources, and insights through weekly discussions and guest interviews. This is where you'll find a sisterhood of navigators to support you on your journey to financial and experiential wealth. Welcome to part two of our interview with Nicole Negron, the functional medicine nutritionist who specializes in women's health. In part one, we heard a lot about what endocrinology is, information about estrogen, how it affects the body, what to consider for each different phase of the cycle. If you haven't heard that already, please go check that out. It's episode 17. If you're ready for part two, some of what she's going to be sharing is a lot about food and the kinds of foods that are best for each phase of the 28-day cycle. We're going to talk a lot about what would shift and change during your cycle based on the phase you're in, how sexuality is impacted, what to do about menopause, and so much more. So get ready for a great second half. Let's get started.
Can you get to the nutrition part? Because what was profound to me is that, my body is asking for different foods.
Yes, at each phase.
At each phase. Like, yes. Of course it is.
So let's talk about this. So during the time of menstruation, you want to think about things that are blood building, right? Here you are losing blood. So you're thinking you're losing zinc, iron, magnesium, calcium. These are all vitamins that are leaking out, right? So of course you don't have energy. Right? How do we replenish that? So especially for those that are vegans, tofu, for example, is something that you only really want to consume during your menstrual cycle, okay? Because your estrogen levels are low and tofu adds to the estrogen conversation. So you do it during menstruation. You don't start doing it during the follicular and ovulatory where it's at its height. Right. So you think about menstruation, you want things that are blood building. OK, so you want to think about salmon. You don't want to think about vegetables. Grains are really good if your body can tolerate it. Right. So think about things that are hearty, like brown rice, for example. That's really hearty. Sweet potatoes. These are the kinds of things that your body's looking for to replenish. Sea vegetables. Sea vegetables are also really huge. So you want to replenish what you're losing. So as you go into your next phase of your cycle, you're not depleted. Okay. Yes. Nourish what you have at that moment. You start moving into your follicular phase. And during your follicular phase, we want to make sure that we're still doing some estrogen building, just a little bit. So I tend to eat a little bit of tofu during the beginning, the first 2 to 3 days, and then I stop, right? But you could have a little bit more of grain consumption, not a lot. And we're not talking about pizza. I am talking more root vegetables. Root vegetables, so think parsnips, think sweet potatoes, spaghetti squash, right? These are things that you want to do. Combine them with a little bit of red meat if you can tolerate it. I mean, ground beef or even turkey. Turkey is fantastic, right? So you want to have a perfect balance of carbs, protein, and fiber. We do need carbs because carbs help combat stress.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's not about carbs.
Carbs.
Thank you.
The type of carbs that you should be eating is different, and you should definitely take a sensitivity test to see where you fall on that spectrum. But in the follicular, we're trying to still build that estrogen, right? But we don't want it to get too high. So think about those food groups, okay? Start getting into your ovulatory. You really want to start thinking about more kind of raw foods, right? If your body can tolerate it. And what I mean by that is for those that have a sensitive digestive tract, they may not be able to eat a raw carrot or eat a raw celery, but they may be able to have it in a juice form. Mm-hmm. Does it make sense?
Yes.
But not eat raw salads, if that makes sense. But you want to kind of stay vegan-ish during this time, right?
This was the ovulatory.
Yes. So, you want to stay vegan-ish. And I say ish because you must have protein in your diet. Just the palm of your hand. That's it. Even if it's once a day during that time, right? You just want to make sure you're having some form because that's going to sustain your energy, right?
Completely.
And also having a nice combination of fats. For those that can tolerate avocado, I eat an entire avocado a day.
Yes. Okay? Yes.
I love avocado.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. That was my favorite food.
I go through a guacamole phase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fantastic. So you want to stay raw-ish during that time. And when you start going into your luteal, you tend to be more hungry. So do not diet. Do not start going, oh my God, I am just so hungry, but I'm going to cut back on my calorie intake. No, honey, that's not what we want to do. What we want to do is actually eat. But you really want to get into the root vegetables. Those are going to keep you really, bake them, right? Just throw them into the oven. That's going to really keep you sustained. And make sure you focus more on fishes, right? Anything that you're not sensitive to, right? I tend to love sardines. I'll wrap them up in a nori wrap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll put them with a nori wrap. I have a vegan mayonnaise that I make at home. So I'll do that and I'll take some of my sweet potato and mash it and put it in there. It's a great combination, right? So you want to make sure that you're feeding yourself as much as possible. Focus on root vegetables. Think about fishes during that time and eat. You may want to go ahead and actually eat more smaller meals throughout the day. Okay.
So this was the phase leading up to menstruation.
To menstruation. Yeah.
This is the last week. I'm just stating again because I know you're saying, you know, the different phases and just to make it clear.
Right.
People aren't catching the words. The luteal, you said it
luteal,
was.
Luteal, aka PMS.
Right.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be PMS, but yes.
This just revolutionizes, I think, the way we think about femininity and our lives and how we experience the world. So I'm just to reiterate, we have... Within the menstrual cycle, we have our productivity that changes. We have our nutrition that should change. We have our exercise that should change. And sex. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's not forget that part.
Don't forget that.
No, you shouldn't. I really hope whether you're getting it with someone or on your own that you have regular orgasms. Look, the future. Oh, God, what is her name? Nicole Pyrus, or I must be ripping up her last name. I'll send the information to you so you can put it in the show notes. But she is a neuroscientist and she focuses primarily on orgasm, right? And she has shown that the future, right, to antidepressants is going to be orgasm. We're going to start replacing.
Oh my God, brilliant.
Right? We are going to start. And we know for women, it's necessary.
It's a lot more fun than taking a big horse pill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She did a great show. Episode on the Today Show. And I've been following her 4 years. She talks a lot about orgasmic meditation, right? And women need to be having it as regularly as possible. Regularly.
My husband's gonna be like, this is the best podcast episode you've ever done.
But you know what?
Have you listened to this woman? You need to listen up.
You know what? We have to redefine what sex is for us. And the women I work with actually have a lot of fun with this because I say be exploratory. You know, the menstruation time should definitely be more floor play-ish unless you actually enjoy having sex during your menstrual cycle, which is perfectly fine. Women have been studied to actually have some incredible orgasms during that time, right? But you don't avoid it. Even if it's just hugging and kissing and having long makeout sessions, right? Connect, right? That at the end of the day is what we're looking for. And during the follicular phase, there has to be a lot of stimulation. Okay. So no, we are not meant to be the same all the time. I think I've established that here. But during the follicular phase, you need more stimulation. So think about the foreplay. It's about the foreplay. You as a woman do not have to lie back and go, oh, I'll just take whatever he gives me. No, you are going to ask for what you need or direct. Right? And foreplay, in order for us to really make sure we're building up good vaginal secretion, is necessary during the follicular phase. And it'll increase through the follicular phase. And then ovulation comes, and we know that more aggressive, intense, short spurts of sex, lots of random quickies are going to be great, right? And then your luteal comes again, and the foreplay starts to take place again. Okay, really getting back into that foreplay to really make sure that you're feeling engaged, right? It takes, you know, for a woman to orgasm, it takes a good 35 to 45 minutes. So if you're doing it for 15 minutes, I'm scared, right? There has to be more participation between you and your partner. And I think if anyone wants to experience escapism, it should be there, right? But that's complex. We come to it with so much baggage.
Right,
yeah. Right.
I do want to ask,
a couple questions. Which one am I going to ask first? What about if you are entering the phase of life? I am in my late 40s. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say I'm in my extremely late 40s. Mm-hmm. It's alarming how
looking
late.
Looking good, Lisette. Lisette.
Thank you. You're thank you. Good. And so, you know, you start having signs of the change.
Yep.
The changes are upon you. And what if you don't know what's going on with your cycle? And I'm assuming when you don't even have the menstruation to guide you anymore, what is going on then? How do people, or there are people who actually have a hard time, I'm sure, with even seeing what their cycle is, even if they're younger.
Right.
So what do you do if you
track? So I'm going to tell you some things. As long as you still have your menstrual cycle. Okay. So let me tell you this. From your teens to early 20s to 35, okay, understand women that by 35, even though this should not be happening, we start to perimenopause. We are starting that journey, okay? And that journey takes about 10 to 15 years, okay? However, that window is getting shorter and shorter because of these stressful lives that women are leading, okay? So the stress is causing you to do early signs of aging. Okay. So what you want to remember is that by 35, you start perimenopause and it should take about 10 to 15 years and it should be a slow, gradual process. Currently, I'll be 40 this year. So I use my Ava bracelet. Okay. It's a fantastic way for you to know exactly where you are in your cycle. Okay. It's 89% effective. It's been great for me. I moved from the basal body temperature method to doing this and it's been fantastic. It shows up on the graph, shows you exactly what your temperatures are. And it has 8 other markers, okay? It measures how long you're sleeping, the difference between REM sleep and actual, you know, kind of tossing and turning. Your heart rate, right? Also manages your stress response system, which is really fantastic. So there's a lot of different methods that they're using to kind of say when you're in each phase, right? Which I think is fantastic. You should know because it goes from cyclical to elliptical. That's what starts happening in our perimenopause, going into postmenopause. Now we're chasing it. It's not consistent anymore. It may be 17 days. It may be 22 days. Then it might go back to 10 days. It goes into an elliptical. And the reason for this happening is your brain is now starting to disconnect communication from the ovaries because it's saying there's no need for us to reproduce anymore. So this conversation is slowly starting to withdraw. So that's why if you're trying to figure out where you are in your cycle, you need to track it. You need something that is hard data, which the DAISY, D-A-Y-S-Y, is one that I love, and then the Ava bracelet. So you can actually see how long you are in each phase. It's essential.
And so just to be clear, those phases don't go away.
No. They're just
elongated.
They're elongated. So you might spend more time in the luteal phase, for example, right?
And so when it stops, though,
mm-hmm.
then you don't have that cycle.
You don't. But now we have a slew of issues that start to come in. So usually when you start getting into the postmenopause is when we start worrying about cardiovascular health, for example. Anxiety and depression definitely kicks up tenfold. It's almost as if you can't help yourself but to feel high emotion. And the reason for this is because estrogen now, remember, estrogen is meant to make you feel good. Your brain should be really popping. It should be snappy. It should be on. And right now, estrogen is starting to go down, right? So we need to figure out, depending on where you are, right, what are supplemental things that we need to be thinking about, lifestyle structures, and also what's your purpose in this phase, this next phase of your life. Purpose is the main topic to postmenopausal women. And what I often find when I'm working with postmenopausal women is that they're still trying to behave as if they were in their 30s. Mm-hmm. It's this conflict, right? And I think a lot of that's because of the society that we live in. We focus so much on the youth that once you start going into perimenopause, menopause, we just start to fade off. And I'm going, don't pay attention to them. Pay attention to us. We're the ones that have the wisdom. And actually, we're the ones that are really making huge change. Perimenopause, menopause, we're the ones making change. Okay? So we need to be putting more focus there. So
can I just shout out there?
Sure.
We're making more change because we have more life experience.
Wisdom.
Yes.
Wisdom and purpose.
Purpose. We have connectivity.
Right.
You know, I mean, I know so many fascinating women post 35 that are really making incredible change in the world.
And, well, and like you were just saying, it's the cultural shift, you know. Back in the day, the elders were held up.
And we don't see that here.
Yes, no, that is not what is happening.
You travel
now.
Abroad, though, you see it.
Yeah, you can still see it in different types of cultures and communities, and certainly
the work I've done with Native American communities, mm-hmm. for example, I had to learn quick to get my priorities in order mm-hmm. around elders. Mm-hmm. They have elder parking and they have, you know, interrupt elders. Like it right. was very clear, mm-hmm. like the elders are to be respected. And I think that does tie into all of this. I can see how if we've lost that in sort of the mainstream, whatever culture, yeah. There's a problem.
And if you're not paying attention, my point is, if you're not paying attention to this evolutionary change, you are going to get sick. Yeah. Okay?
Right.
Okay, yeah. If you are denying yourself, right, what is your birthright, right, at this point between 45 and 55 years of age, let's just go ahead and make that a bracket there, right? You are going to miss out because you're going to be anxious, you're going to be depressed, you're going to feel lost. In this world, we know that there's incredible studies taking place right now with women that are menopausal and exiting the workforce, yes. okay, due to cognitive decline. Oh, okay, so we don't know what the corporate world does not know how to take care of women that are 50 and over, right? So now women are starting to feel like they have to leave the corporate realm because they don't have an environment that supports them. Mm-hmm. Does that make
and
sense?
And values what their contribution still can
absolutely.
Be.
Absolutely, absolutely, which is huge. But we have to get a perimenopause, menopausal woman in order, right? Get all those symptoms as bay as possible, which still, again, you're always going to go back to your nutrition. You have to go back and do lab work and find out where you're deficient because this postmenopause becomes a very slippery slope where you'll say, wow, in my 30s and 40s, I wasn't going through any of this. And you wake up one day and all of a sudden you have hypothyroidism. How the hell did that happen? Mm-hmm, right? And I often tell women that was years in the making. That did not just happen.
Right.
That did not just happen.
Wow.
Did you have another question?
The other question really had to do with creating wherever you are, whether you're in the, you know, younger years, you know, leading up to menopause, postmenopause. It just seems like so much of this is geared towards education, number one, and number two, then implementing what you've learned into your life. And I love what you were saying earlier about a lot of it comes back to just exercising your power of choice. It just, I can see how it can be very challenging when, as we've talked about, the cultural pressures are in a certain way and the speed at which we're all moving and all of this. And so just wondering what you're seeing in terms of successes of creating that sort of, like I was talking about, you know, the space I go to during sure. that week, or, you know, how to bring that. Maybe we don't have those huts anymore, but how do I bring that into my life? And I'm sure that's something that takes quite a while with clients.
It
to
does
help
so
them
individual.
Execute that, and it's very individual.
It's very individual. So for my moms, I'm tough. Okay, you did not make that kid by yourself. And if you are living in a two parent household, you schlep those kids off to that man. I do not care.
I love it.
What face reactions you get? Work through the guilt. You have to move through it in order to say, I deserve this time. Mm-hmm. I deserve this time. You know what? In a month in advance, I'm going to book myself an appointment to get a massage, a pedicure, whatever it is that makes you feel good. And you know what? You're going to look at your husband and say, bye.
Yes.
Yep.
Goodbye.
This is called self-preservation.
You have to.
Self-preservation.
And women have noticed.
I'm going to get a sign for my door or something like, this is
bye.
My time off.
Right. But you know what I've noted, and this is for my moms, you have to demand that time. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to have a yelling match about it. You just need to make a choice. What is he going to do? Leave the house with the kids by themselves in the house?
Yes, he's not. Totally.
You know, so just the way men just decide, they tune out all the time. They make decisions and choices. They are the best at taking care of themselves, to be honest with you. They know how to tune out and they don't feel guilty about it. So I tell you, go into your home and your structure. Okay, go home into your home and your structure, and you start letting them know in advance, hey, in a month in advance, I'm going to be planning one full day that is just for myself, and I am asking you to participate in partnership with me. And I really don't care what they have to say. You are going to leave those kids behind.
They'll probably be happy because you're happy. Let's
absolutely.
Be honest. And then you have great sex.
And
later.
That is
like,
what
on.
They've, but that is what they've noticed. So in the beginning, from my moms, there's a lot of guilt, and there's also this, oh, if I don't do it, it's not right.
Right.
I don't like the way he washes the dishes or the way he makes food or the way he cleans up after the kids. And I go, you know what? you could worry about that later.
Yes.
Yeah, let it go. You'll clean
up the mess later, right?
Well, and we're also speaking now to the like heterosexual, you know, partnerships. But I'm also curious, you know, so if you have two women raising kids together, and we know that women do get on the same cycles.
Yes.
Now what? I guess there's some creative bargaining that needs to happen. Or like, you know, okay, half the day I'm, you know, off or whatever. There must be a way to do that. Or let's bring in the family relative.
Right?
Absolutely.
Together.
Absolutely.
And we could hibernate together.
Yes. Like,
once you're tracking it, this is what's so empowering to me and has completely shifted the way I engage with myself is I'm so much nicer to myself. Because why can't I do this? There have been so many times when I'm like, I'm finding the word. What's the word? Brain fog. And I'm like, oh, that's because I'm in this
phase.
Exactly, I'm like, oh, I'll
right.
be nice to myself and not right. think I'm, you know, losing it
right.
completely.
So right? The one thing that women say after, oh my God, after we've done our time together, which is always emotional, I'm going, she's like, can I email you? I'm like, yes, you're with me for life. But she always says, they walk away saying like, I do not feel guilty anymore about going through these weekly changes, right? And it takes a long time for them to adapt, but they don't feel guilty anymore. They're just like, okay, I just acknowledge this is where I am, right? And I'm just going to lean into that. And it's helped them communicate with their partners or to deal with their children or even their work environment, especially when they're in leadership positions. It helps them be more strategic about how they're going to come to that plate, which allows them to be more intentional.
And in the moment, I think that's the, and I didn't mean to, I mean, lesbian couples also have the same, you know, once you
and you
know
guys should be following the moon for sure. Because the majority of women, we do know that they sink. I hate the studies that say that that's not taking place and it's not valid. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
But you link up to the moon, because there are women that don't necessarily link up. Follow the moon and its structures. There's an incredible woman that I love, and her name is Jennifer Rassiopi. And she's an astrologer. She also comes from a corporate background, and now this is what she does. But she's an astrologer, but she also talks about the four phases of the cycle and how to lean into it from an astrology perspective, right? And really understanding the messages and tools of how you could utilize this on your week-to-week basis. Right?
Completely.
So don't ignore it. There's so many tools for you to access.
What's so amazing is then you're in the moment and you realize, because I think some of the anxiety and the fear, at least from you know my story, is that you feel like what's happening right now will happen forever. Like, no. Oh, this crisis I'm in, you know, or whatever, you know, I can't see the next. But if you're in this cycle or you're tracking the moon, mm-hmm. both, you realize like, no, this has an end and it goes into another phase.
That's
and
right.
There is an out in this moment that you are. And so being present in the moment, acknowledging where you are, but also that it's not forever is really profound, I think.
So true.
Well, even a further note, what I want women to understand is that the reason, right, we have these phases, it allows us to tackle different parts of our lives. Do you understand? There are parts where you just got to go, you know what? I'll get to that next week, because next week I'm going to be better at facilitating that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It gets you to stop and pause and say, you know what? I'm not adding you to my plate this week. This is not going
not
to happen,
to do it
right?
All, right?
And there is, if you're following that cyclical pattern, okay, no matter where you are in your life, especially for postmenopausal women, you need to understand that this is a blueprint for you. It's a blueprint. It gets you out of jail of all these imprisonments that we have been given about how we have to work, how we have to function. It gets you out of that rat race.
It's beautiful.
Does that make sense?
We have covered so many things, but we do need to wrap up. And I want to ask you, what has been the best part for you? I mean, I'm hearing it come through what you just said,
sure.
But what has been the best part for you on this journey of helping other women understand this blueprint?
Yeah, sure. I will tell you that has been very healing for me. It continues. It might sound strange, but working with women in facilitating these four phases of their cycle and going through this life change with them, because it's a life change. It's all around, right? It's also been amazing how they've impacted my life. That's my biggest takeaway, right? So they're walking away with tons of good, juicy material and a changed life, but it's really the impact that they've made on me and how I learned through them. So I would say that's been the most success. I don't think they realize how much I get from them and how much the feeding back and forth. It's been very nourishing.
Women inspiring women.
It really, that's you right. don't know that I come from a very masculine background. I was raised in New York City, and you know, I hated living in my body. I used to tell my mom, I was supposed to be a man. what the hell did you do?
Yes.
What did you do? So to be in this phase of my life and the change that I've made and be able to make that impact on other women and this exchange of energy and healing that we've given to each other has been really spectacular. It's a gift.
It's amazing.
What a gift.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for, you know, sharing your time with us and giving us so much information to share with our listeners. It's been a real joy to have you.
Thank you so much. Thanks, thank you guys. I appreciate you.
Wait. Huh? Where can we find you? Because I know there's going to be a stampede of people probably trying to look you up.
Yeah.
So where can we find you?
Sure. So you can find me. Well, my email, if anybody wants to email directly, is Nicole@NicoleNegron.com. And my website is NicoleNegron.com as well. And then I have my Instagram, was Nicole_Negron. Okay, you can find me on Instagram, and that's been a little slow, but I'll pick back speed. Feel free to message me because I'm constantly checking my messages. It's heavy. It's a heavy load, but I'll get back to you, promise. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you again.
Well, that's it for our interview with Nicole Negron. I hope you enjoyed it. Just a reminder that you can get access to the links and resources that she mentioned during the episode. Just head over to our show notes. You can either see those on the platform where you are listening to your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Stitcher, Spotify. You can always check out the show notes there, or you can head over to the NAVIT website, which is nav.it, and just look for the podcast tab, and you'll end up on the podcast page where you can check out the notes for both episodes. So if you've enjoyed this episode, feel free to continue the conversation in the Let's NAVIT Facebook group. It's a great place to ask questions and connect with others. It's called Let's NAVIT. You can find it on Facebook if you look for, you know, at Let's NAVIT. And also on Instagram and Twitter, same thing, at Let's NAVIT. And please, if you've enjoyed this, rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. It really helps us grow the show. We love to keep spreading it out there. It helps us get great guests too. So please tell a friend to tell a friend and get on there and subscribe and leave your thoughts. So that's it for today. Until next time,
let's NAVIT!